Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his higher inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who made the promise. And so from one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they left, they would have the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Lord, we'll add blessing to the reading of his word.
Father, we thank you for a place that you are preparing, a place called home that we are longing to be. And Father, in this world, we will have heartaches. In this world, we will have disappointments. In this world, we will have just a hardship. But we're not home yet. And encourage us with the truth of your word this morning, that we can truly say it has been good to be in your house today, because we have been encouraged by you. We have met with you. We've been blessed and we've worshiped together. So we ask your blessing upon your word. Open our hearts and our ears to receive and to hear from you today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a child, I had an Erector set. I don't know if you remember an Erector set. It's, you can build things with it. And believe it or not, Mr. Bill, I was able to use it and to build some things and put things together. John, can you believe that? Little bit of mechanical ability. And if you ever see an Erector set, you can design all kinds of things with them and put them together and screw them together. And it takes nuts and bolts to fasten them. And if you're going to build something with an Erector set or a house or any kind of plan, you need something to fasten and hold it together. And the nuts and bolts work in that fashion. And I was able to learn how to screw a nut and bolt in. Can you believe it, Ray? I was learned to do that and to build a little bit of things and even put some mechanics with it and make it work. Today, as we've been going through this chapter 11 where we've been learning about faith, today we get to the nuts and bolts of faith, where faith really matters and gets down to the living of our life. We're going to look at the life of Abraham, and we've been looking at the different people that God has placed within his hall of fame. Some of them rather obscure. But if we were, this is a person we would expect to find in the Hall of Fame. We'd expect to find Abraham mentioned there. After all, he is called the father of the faithful, the father of all who believe. The book of Genesis, the entirety of the book of Genesis is focused on him, a majority portion of it. He became the father of the Jewish nation, and three religions trace their way back to him. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul lifts up Abraham and uses him as an example of what living by faith and being saved by faith is all about. So it's not a surprise to us that we would find him mentioned here in the Hall of Fame of the faithful, a man who lived his life and was called by faith and demonstrated that as he walked with God. But from Abraham's life this morning, we're going to learn the nuts and bolts of faith, really how it gets down to the nitty-gritty of how it really relates to your life and mine, and some of the practical things of our life every day. You can read it. Abraham's story in the book of Genesis, beginning in chapter 12 and going all the way through, and you would find it mentioned there. And he became, of course, the father of Isaac, Jacob, and the founder of the nation. But from his story, we're going to discover five ways of how faith makes a difference in our life, as they're recorded for us here in Hebrews chapter 11 and in these few verses Kim read. And the writer of Hebrews condenses all the life of Abraham into a few verses, gives him more attention than any of the other people in the Hall of Fame, because rightly so, he has that place of prominence. But from him, we can discover five principles of how we can apply the nuts and bolts of faith to our life and the difference it makes in your life and mine every day. First thing we discover is that faith in the nuts and bolts, in the practical living, faith obeys God's call. That when you and I are walking by faith and living by faith, it leads us and moves us to obey God's call on our life, whatever it may be, whatever he is speaking, leading us to do. Notice in verse 8, as Kim read it, by faith, and faith again is the focus, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. What was it that motivated Abraham to leave his home nation? God had spoken to him. We first meet Abraham living in a city called Ur in Mesopotamia, southern Mesopotamia, today in the country of Iraq, down by the sea. And he was a worshiper of many gods at that point. But God spoke to him, and he heard and recognized that this was the Lord. And at the age of 75, God said to him, Abraham, I want you to leave your homeland, your family, leave everything behind you, your house, everything, and follow me into a strange country that you've never been before. And believe me that I'm going to give that land to you eventually as an inheritance. Now, put yourself in Abraham's place. If you're 75, anybody here 75 or older? Okay. God speaking to you, older in life, and says, I want you to leave your home, your family, everything you are in retirement age, leave it all behind, and set out and follow me, and trust that I'm going to commit, take care of you in the future, and I'm going to give you, and I'm going to take care of you. At an older age, that's difficult. How many of us would be willing to do that? And say, did I get that right? Did I hear what you said? What was it that enabled Abraham to step out, to leave it all behind, and to follow God without hesitation to a strange land? It was his faith. Because he knew, even though he just met the Lord, he had a faith to believe that if God was calling him, he needed to be obedient. Faith obeys without hesitation, because notice it says he believed, he heard the word, and what's it say in verse 8? He heard, and he obeyed, and he went. He didn't hesitate, he didn't delay, but he obeyed, and he went. Faith calls us and moves us to obey God without hesitation. What is it that God is calling you to do? And God has a calling. First, he calls us to himself in salvation. But then he calls us to love others. He calls us to serve him. Maybe God is still calling someone to be practical in cleaning the church. But whatever it is God's calling us to do, whatever it is he lays on your heart, whatever you hear and sense him saying to you, faith moves us to obey him without hesitation and to say, okay, Lord, I follow you. I trust you. It took a lot for Abraham to leave everything behind at the age of 75 and to go to a different country and to leave his house and everything behind. How many of us would be willing to do that? That's hard, right? But that was faith that moved him to that. Faith is not easy. Following God and living by faith is not easy. Obeying him is not easy. But our faith moves us to that. Obeying him without hesitation, but also obeying him without reservation. Because it says here that when God spoke to him, he obeyed and went. And here's the without reservation part. It says, even though he did not know where he was going. He had never been to the land of Canaan before. Remember, he didn't have a computer, he didn't have internet that he could look it up before he went and say, well, what's it like over there? You know, in our decisions, in our time, we can go on a computer and we can look up and get our best information we have. All he had was God saying, go. And trust me that I'm taking you to a land, even though you've never been before, just follow me there and believe that someday it's going to be, your children are going to receive this. Again, putting yourself in Abraham's point, him and Sarah could not conceive. They had no children. They had no heirs. But yet God says, I'm going to take you to a land and your children are going to inherit it someday. And said, wow, took faith to obey that, right? Without reservation. He didn't question it. He trusted and he believed in God's word and in God's call. And that's the nuts and bolts of faith, friends, that when God, whatever God calls you to do, whatever you hear him saying, obeying him without reservation, without question, and without hesitation, wherever it is he's leading us. Faith obeys God's call. What is it that he's calling you to do? Corrie Ten Boom, in World War II, you know the story of Corrie Ten Boom. Her father was a clockmaker, and they hid Jews in their house to escape the Nazis, taking them to the concentration camp. When they finally were found out and turned in, they themselves, Corrie and her sister Betsy, were sent to one of the worst concentration camps. And if you read her story, a movie called The Hiding Place, she wrote it down in a book called The Hiding Place, made into a movie. But she said this quote one day. She says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Because we don't know what lies ahead. We didn't know at the beginning of this year all that we'd be facing and what this year was going to be like. It felt like it was chaos for us. But it didn't catch God by surprise. And our future, we can entrust it into God's hands. And so never be afraid to trust your unknown future, what's ahead of you, into a God who knows we can know and a God who already knows it. Because he will lead us and he will guide us every step of the way. You believe that? So trust that. And the nuts and bolts of faith. Faith obeys God's call. But second principle we learned from him is that faith looks forward to a permanent home. That this world we're living in is not our real home, our real residence. We have a place far better than this. Aren't you thankful? I've heard someone say that earth, for Christians, the life we're living in is the worst hell that we will ever experience. And for unbelievers, this is the best heaven that anybody will ever experience. We have something far better than this ahead of us. And we have a home in heaven that is being prepared. Notice what the scripture goes on to say, verses 9 and 10. By faith, again, it was his faith that enabled this. By faith, Abraham made his home in a promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. And he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to something better. He was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Faith looks forward to our permanent home because like a tent, this world here is not our home. We are dwelling in a temporary world. When Abraham left his home in Ur, there he had a permanent home. It was his residence. Whatever kind of home it was typical of the homes of those days. But he left that behind, and he lived in a tent in Canaan in a foreign land for the rest of his life, living in a tent. And he left his home because he knew that there was a far better home awaiting him, a city that God was designing with a permanent architect, with a permanent foundation. If anybody ever gone camping, I just love to go camp. We used to go camping as a kid. And over in our former church in Bridgeville, we had a friends that, we called them our second parents. They had a motorhome. And they took us to Tennessee for the first time. And then they took us to the Grand Canyon, and we went through 16 states in 14 days on that trip. And we loved it. We had a good time. But the first time we went on our first trip, Ma said to us, she says, well, we're going to be in this motorhome for a long time, for several days. We got to learn to get along with each other. And it was fun. We would get in that, and we would pack, we load everything, and we would go and get on the road and go and travel. And that was a blast. We loved it. A lot of the places you could see. But as fun as that was, and if you've ever been in a motorhome or camping, it's fun, but you still want to get back to your own bed, right? You still want to get back to something permanent. You still want to get back to that permanent place of residence, and you look forward to that. We met several people as we would go on that trip in the campgrounds called full-timers. And full-timers are people that they retire, they sell their house, they buy a motorhome, and they live in the motorhome for the rest of their life, and they move from place to place to place. Sounds fun for a while, but after a while, then you think you kind of get maybe tired of that. Because you want that permanent place, that permanent residence. Because temporary, but that's what Abraham lived with, the temporary thing. When I was in college, we had to take gym classes. We had to take two physical fitness classes, but we also had to take gym, and they gave us an elective. Those of you know me pretty well know that I'm not too very good at athletics. So I tried to pick a gym class that I thought I could handle. So they had one called backpacking. I thought, I can handle that. That's something I can do. So I signed up for backpacking class, and our final in that class was they taught us what we needed to know about camping. And so we had to set up a tent in a certain amount of time, be able to set all that up, pack everything we needed, put it into a backpack, and learn how to cook over the fire and do some things like that and make some meals. Then our final was we put everything on a weekend trip to the Appalachian Trail down in Virginia, a place called Bedford, Virginia, called the Peaks of Otter. And the Peaks of Otter, two little peaks that stick out. You can see them for miles. And every time we drive by, I say, Kim, there's the Peaks of Otter. She's laughing now. And we had to go to the Peaks of Otter for a weekend, and we had to contain everything in our backpack. We had to set the camp up. We had to cook over the stove, over the fire. We had to do everything for the week. And if we passed that, we got a passing grade. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. But it was a temporary thing. And then when I was in Columbia, we took our youth group in Columbia to Creation one year. And we had to set up these little tents, and everybody would live in a tent for the weekend and living on the ground. And Kim didn't enjoy that at all. That was not her fun thing because we had to go to stand in line for a shower for 5 minutes and 2 hours for a shower. And it was not a pleasant experience for her. But it reminds us that it's not home. And this world isn't our home. Our real home is literally out of this world. Literally it is. And what is waiting for us, and the beauty that is described for us in the book of Revelation that we just got a glimpse of at that wonderful place. Tom Brady, there's a story that Tom Brady had passed away, and he went to heaven, Rod, and he got there, and the Lord met him at the, and St. Peter met him at the gate and says, Tom, you're ready for you. I want to take you to your house. So he took him to his house, and there was a little house here, little cottage, and it had Patriots flags all over it. Now I guess they'd have to change it, but back then it had Patriot flags all over it. And the Lord and St. Peter said, is that okay, Tom? He says, yeah, I'm okay with that. But he looked across the way, and he saw this big, huge mansion. It had Steeler flags all over it and Steeler memorabilia. It was lined with that. It was really big. And Tom said to Peter, he says, but I'm okay with this. But he said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. He says, why does Ben Roethlisberger get that big mansion over there, and I got this little place? And Peter says, that's not Ben Roethlisberger's. That's God's house. But the home that we have waiting for us is that this world is not our home, and we're just passing through. And we're pilgrims on a journey. And we long for that day that someday we will trade, because we're going to trade that tent in that we are living in for a mansion. And as we're dwelling in a tent, because like a tent, this world isn't our home, it's only temporary. But like a tent, life here is only temporary. And tents are not designed for comfort. When we went to creation and Kim had to sleep on the ground, that was not fun for her. She did not like standing in line for 2 hours for getting a short shower. Tent camping wasn't her thing. And it's discomfortable at times. You're sleeping on the ground. You're out there in the elements, as much as it may be enjoyable. Our Bishop Bruce Hill told me about a time when he was out camping. He was hunting out in Colorado. He loves to go hunting out in the West. And he was hunting in the Rocky Mountains. And he said he went to sleep in the middle of the night, and then suddenly the snowstorm came in. And he said he felt this cold coming underneath his bed. And he woke up and hear all this snow blew in, and it was all the way coming up to his bed. All the snow was blowing in the tent. Because, see, our tent that we live in, this earthly body, is prone to disappointment. It's prone to sickness. It wears out. It gets tired. We've heard stories this morning about cancer. All the things that afflict living in a tent here. And it's uncomfortable. And it's not really what we look forward to. But there is a better place awaiting. Abraham put up with living in the discomfort and hardship of a tent. He left his home behind, and it says he dwelt in tents by faith. And he put up with living in the discomfort of a tent and not having a permanent residence because he was looking ahead to his future home. Faith enables us to look beyond this world to our future home, enabling us to put up with the disappointments, the heartache, the pain, the adversity, all that we suffer here, because we know that this world is temporary. We are in a tent. But we're not home yet, friends. Someday, we will change the tent for a mansion. And there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more heartache. There will be no more disappointment. There will be no more pain. There will be no more separation. Isn't that glorious? Faith enables us to look beyond this world to our permanent home and see what is awaiting us. Listen what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you want to turn with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent, our body, we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan." And we do groan in this world, don't we? There's a lot of things that make us groan today. "But meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while in this tent we groan and are burdened." We can identify with that. We say amen, don't we? We understand that. "Because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up in life. And now it is God who made us for this very purpose and has given us a spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is yet to come. So therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away with the Lord. But we live by faith, not by sight. For I am confident, I say, that I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive what is due him while in the body." So Paul says, we groan in this body, in this tent, we groan. "But we long for the day. We're looking for a city with a true foundation, whose hope and builders and foundation is God." Faith enables us to see that this world is not our home and we can look beyond it. And unlike a tent, our home there rests on a sure foundation. Verse 10 tells us that he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. A tent does not have a foundation. A tent is attached by stakes so it can be easily moved up, taken down, and put up. But a tent, if a strong enough wind comes along and it's even with the stake down, the wind can blow it away. It doesn't have a foundation it rests on. It's uncertain. That implies because there's no foundation, it implies not, there's not security there. But in heaven, our home, it is built upon the foundation. And when we trade our earthly tent for a heavenly home, it's built upon a foundation. And the scripture tells us in Revelation what that foundation is. The 12 stones of a solid foundation that is permanent and lasting. And that foundation tells us security and permanence. That a home that is waiting for us, we are going to be with the Lord forever. That security. And dwell with him in his presence for all time. Faith obeys God's call, but faith also looks forward to our permanent home. Do you long to be home with Jesus? Someday we will be. In this world, we will have tribulation. But Jesus says, fear not, because I've overcome the world, and someday we will be with him. Third, faith trusts God to keep his word. Faith trusts God to keep his word. It says in verse 11 that by faith, again, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. God said to Abraham when he called him, your descendants are going to be as numerous as stars of the sky, and I'm going to take you to that land. Abraham had no children. Sarah was not able to conceive. She was barren. How was that promise going to happen? How was God going to be faithful in providing an inheritance if they don't have any children? But Abraham believed and he trusted God to keep his word. And he believed even though sometimes we had to wait. And if you go back in the book of Genesis and read his story, you'd find out that Abraham had to wait 25 years from when God called him till Isaac was born. 25 years of waiting, and he beginning to wonder and question in that time, God, are you really going to keep your promise to me? Are we really going to have a son? In fact, there's a time when Abraham went through that struggle. And he said to the Lord, he said, Eliezer, my servant's going to have to inherit everything because we haven't received the child yet. And God said, just wait, it's going to come in my timing. And that faith enables us to wait in God's timing, even though it's hard. Even though we wish God would answer us now. But believing that if he said in his word, he will do what he's promised, right? And faith enables us to see that God will keep his word. We might have to wait a while. But God's never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. Faith also enables us to trust God even when things seem humanly impossible. Notice what it says here. By faith, even though Abraham was past age and Sarah herself was barren, and it seemed humanly impossible at this point, how were they going to have a child? Sarah was barren, Abraham was well up in years, so was Sarah. She was beyond the age of having children at this point. How was it ever going to happen? How was God going to keep his promise? And it seemed humanly impossible. There was no way humanly it could happen unless God himself intervened. And sometimes we get in those times and we're in a situation where we think, Lord, I'm in a situation that seems humanly impossible here. And it's not going to happen. And Satan, in those times, Satan really likes to discourage us and say, yeah, it's not going to happen. God's bailed on you. There's no way that's going to happen. And Satan likes to make us doubt. He likes to make us doubt God's word. But faith in those times enables us still to trust that God will keep his word, even though it's humanly impossible, because as the Lord said to Mary, when he enabled her to conceive as a virgin, to bear the life of Jesus, remember she said, with man, it is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible through him. And God is able to do whatever he wants to do, and is able to do all things. And faith trusts him to keep his word. So what is God saying to you? Obey it. Long for that better city. Long for the better place than we are here. Long for home. And trust God to keep his word, even when it doesn't seem possible. Even when it may take a long time. Trust that God will be faithful. Fourth thing, as we get into the nuts and bolts of faith, is that faith lives as an alien in this world. You say, what? That sounds like science fiction. But it's not science fiction, it's reality. Notice what the scripture says here, again, in verse 13. All these people were still living by faith. when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. The Bible says in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we are a peculiar people, meaning that we are, because our home is not in this world, because our home is in heaven, and we are residents and citizens of the kingdom of heaven, that's where our home is. And Abraham left his home behind, and he dwelt in a foreign country as an alien there, as a stranger in that foreign land that he did not possess. Someday it would be his. God had promised that someday his descendants would own the land of Canaan. But at this point, that wasn't the case. That was going to be another 450-some years later till that happened. And he was living as a foreigner in the land that was promised to him. Right now, we're living as a foreigner in this land, because God has promised us a different home. And so we are citizens of a better country than where we are. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, as we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." And so because our citizenship is in heaven and we are citizens of a better country, we are an alien in this world, that means we'll stand out. We stand out because we have a different lifestyle than the people around us who don't know Jesus, because we have a different country that we represent. We have a different value system we live by. We have a different culture that we follow. We follow the teachings of Jesus, which stands completely counter to the world in which we're living. And the people can't understand that. It's foreign to them. Let me illustrate it this way. It's like if you've ever had the experience of traveling to another country. Anybody here ever going to a different country? And you have that experience and you're going into that country. And as much as you try to prepare and understand the culture, when you get there, people know we're American. They can just tell because we stand out in our dress, in the way we live, in the way we act. Our culture is different. And you can try to blend in. You can try to understand the people there. But you still blend out. You still stand out. When Kim and I went to Uganda, we stood out like sore thumbs. They prepared us, but we stood out. And one time we remember we were having lunch in the van. And we were sitting there. And a bunch of kids gathered outside. Ugandan boys gathered outside. They started looking at the window. They started pointing and laughing. Then another ones come over and they started pointing and laughing. And here a whole bunch of kids gathered to look and stare at the Mzungus. Mzungus are white people. You know, and they thought, they wanted to come and look at the Mzungus. We stood out. We were different. They could tell we were definitely not Ugandans. And that's how it is with Jesus, with our relationship with Christ. Because we're Christians, we stand out from the world. The people should see we're not from this world. We have a different value system. Our citizenship, our home is up there. And because our home is up there, we shouldn't get too attached to this world. We shouldn't adopt its values as ours. Because we live by a different value system. We serve a different kingdom. We have a different king and a better country. And we have a different mindset. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 says, therefore, Colossians 1 to 2 says that we should have, because you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Our mindset is a heavenly one. And we are representatives of a better kingdom, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, we are ambassadors, and an ambassador is a person that the country sends to represent, to live in that country, but to represent the state. When a president appoints an ambassador, he sends that person to live in that country to represent our interests on behalf of the president. And that's what Jesus did with us. He made you and I ambassadors here in this world, as he left us here for a while, because our home's up there, to represent him, to represent his values, to represent his kingdom, to represent Jesus on this earth until he calls and takes us to live in our permanent home with him. And so, remember that you're his representatives. Not live like the world, but live in the world. Because we live represent a better country. We're citizenship of a better country and of a better kingdom that is coming. And last, faith is victorious in times of testing. We see in verse 17 that by faith, again, that word faith is central. By faith, Abraham, when tested by God, or God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And he who received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." 25 years of time had passed from the time God first called Abraham. A lot had happened in those years. But 25 years later, Isaac is born. Isaac grows up to be a young teenager. And God comes to Abraham again and says, "Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac and offer him to me on the altar of sacrifice." How would you be again? How would you put yourself in Abraham's place again? You waited all those years for the son of the promise to come. He finally comes, and God says, "Now I want you to give him to me as a sacrifice." How would you feel? That was a test, the ultimate test. And God did not want Abraham to offer Isaac's sacrifice, but he was testing his faith to see if he truly trusted him enough. And he loved him more than even loving his son. And if he loved him first and foremost. Faith enables us to be victorious in times of testing. And you would agree with me, wouldn't you, that that would be an ultimate test for any parent? If you would put yourself in Abraham's place, if you were that parent, and God said, "I want you to give your son to me as a sacrifice, give him up to me," that's a test of faith, right? That Abraham was victorious because of his faith, because faith enables us to pass the test. Whenever it was by faith, when God tested him, he offered Isaac. He passed the test because his faith enabled him to believe that somehow God gave him to me. God said that through Isaac, my heirs are going to receive this land. So somehow God is going to be faithful to keeping his word. I don't understand it, but my faith enables me to trust God that even when I don't understand, he's going to do what he promised. And his faith enabled him to pass the test. Satan will come. The Lord will test us in many ways, through hardship, through adversity. And faith enables us that in those times of testing to remain victorious and to overcome it and to live for him. And it enables us to believe that God will bring about good. Verses 18 and 19 says, "Even though God said to him, 'Through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned,' Abraham reasoned or believed that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead." It was his faith enabled Abraham to believe that, "I don't understand this, but God has a good purpose in it. And that God promised that through Isaac, I will have descendants. So if I have to give his life, if I have to take him, God can raise him from the dead again if he needs to. I don't understand, but God's going to bring good out of this somehow because God promised." And that's what faith enables us to do. That even though it's hard times and those tests come our way and it's difficult, faith enables us to say, "This is difficult. But somehow I believe that God's going to turn this around for good. I believe that God's going to use this for good some way because he promised that he works all things out for good. Not some, but all, right? And I believe that. And so I trust him." That's the nuts and bolts of faith, friends. Where it gets down to our daily living. Of when those hard times come, of the home that is awaiting us. So faith obeys the call, looks forward to the permanent home, trusts God to keep his word, is an alien in this world, and is victorious when the times of testing come. We can see why Abraham was included in this hall of fame. But you and I are included there as well. Because as members of Living by Faith, God is leading us and directing us. May we, this week, live by the nuts and bolts of faith in the challenges that come our way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Abraham and his life, because, Lord, he was a man of great faith, and didn't mean that he always was faithful. We could talk about some times in his life when he wasn't, when he didn't trust your provision in Canaan, and he went down to Egypt, and because of that, he suffered. Then when he tried to help you out by waiting for the promise, and him and Sarah came up with that plan with Hagar, and again, The results were disastrous because he didn't fully trust. And even though he was a man of great faith, there was time his faith was weak. But Lord, we can learn from him. Overall, he walked with you in faith. And so, Lord, there's times in our life that when the challenges come, just like Abraham, we may be weak in our faith at that moment. And we may make a wrong decision. We may not trust you as we should. But we thank you that you're gracious during those times and you're forgiving and you restore us just as you did Abraham. But Lord, help us to be men and women of faith that when you speak to us, we obey. Whatever it is you're calling and leading us to do, that we trust you and your word, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it doesn't seem humanly possible to us, even if we have to wait a long time, we believe that you will keep your promise. That as we live in this world, we live as an alien. We don't adopt the proper standards of this world because we represent a different kingdom, because our king, our home is in with you. And Lord, we can put up with hardship and adversity and temporary disappointments in this earth because it is only temporary here. Our home is waiting for us. We're not home yet. And when we get home, then we can rejoice. When we get home, then we will be free from all of the burdens of life. And Lord, help us to be victorious in those times of testing when our faith is challenged, when we are tested, to remain strong because, Lord, we know that you will be faithful to us. And so, Lord, thank you for the example of Abraham, for teaching us from your word this morning, and help us to be men and women of faith as we walk and live with you this week. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.